It is good to see everyone today on this June 21st, 2020, Father's Day. And I'd like to wish a happy Father's Day to all the dads that are here. And I praise God for godly fathers and thank God for my dad. For all the dads that are listening in other places to our website, we just praise Jesus. Today we are looking at a message I've entitled, The Two Talents Are the One, Matthew 25, verse 14 through 15. And if you have missed any of these messages over the last 3 weeks, go back, pick them up. We are studying the general principles concerning the parable of the talent. So here we go in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. The scripture says this: For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, we've already studied that the man represents the Lord Jesus. The servants represent the children of Israel. But we're applying this to the children of God. And unto one he gave them 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And he gave to every man according to what he knew was his ability, what he could handle. And then straightway the Lord left. He took his journey. And then he came back in verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came back and they gave an account with what they had done. Now the one that had 1 in verse 18, he dug in the ground and he buried it and hid his Lord's money and didn't do a thing with it. And in verse 22, the one that had received the 2 talents, he said, You delivered unto me, or gave me 2 talents, Lord, and I gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful with a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So we're going to look at this today, and we're going to develop some general principles out of what God gives us in life and what does he expect us to do with it. Father, as I come today, I confess unto you the wretchedness and filth of my daily sin, my weekly sin. I confess them out loud to you, Lord. And Father, I just pray for cleansing by your blood, forgiveness and cleansing by your blood, and an anointing of your Spirit. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit will take over. Father, anoint me, fill me with your Spirit, and use me today to wash the feet of these that have gathered in humility. And Father, I pray that you let everyone in this place know that the Holy Spirit will teach them, that you will speak to their hearts as we go to these scriptures. And Father, I just pray right now that you will just take over. Let everyone in this place know that you love them, everyone that's listening, that you love them, and that you have a plan for their lives. And Father, I just pray right now. I pray, Father, that we will honor you, touch our hearts, speak to us. Lord Jesus, what do we most need to hear from you today? In your glorious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, the parable of the talents. Now, talent in the Greek, talanton, it is a unit of measure, Cameron, a monetary unit of measure. It may have been a bag of gold, may have been 5 bags of gold, 2 bags of gold, 1 bag of gold. It may have been gold bars or silver bars, but they were a unit of measure, and they were representing wealth. And under one man, God had blessed him with 5, under another 2, under another 1. But and the one with 5 made 5 more. And the one with 2 made 2 more. And the one with 1 buried his, made excuses, had a misunderstanding of who God was. And we're not even going to get into that. But the bottom line is, it could have been reversed. The one with 5 could have buried his. The one with 1 could have invested that 1 and made 3. The one with 2 could have buried the 2. And so the message is, it's all about what we do with the advantages that God gives us. Amen. and the blessings that God gives us. And we're going to look at three lies before we close today. Hopefully we'll be able to look at the life of Johnny Erickson Tata. Now I've got her bio printed out. We'll look at the life of Tim Scott, who is a United States Senator from my hometown in Charleston, South Carolina. He serves in Washington now. And we'll look at the life of Darius Rucker, who has a home in Charleston now, but does his work in Nashville. And all three, counting myself, we grew up in the same area. Two of us went to the same high school. And I'll share with you the advantages and disadvantages that the three of us had. And I'll share with you the advantages and disadvantages or obstacles that Johnny Erickson Tata faces. And we want to make a decision today. It all comes down to self-perception. Whether you have received five talents, 5,000, two, or one, and you really don't even know. Only God's the judge, Cleo, of how much we've been blessed with. We might have everything in the world and be a bunch of belly aches. But the bottom line is, as we look at our self-perception, you're going to see several verses of Scripture today, and you've got to come to a conclusion. Do you consider yourself a victim, or do you consider yourself an overcomer in Christ? And we're going to see what the Bible says about that. So Matthew 25, verse 15, the Lord gave unto one 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. Now, I want you to disregard the 5 talents. Everybody always says, well, one guy got 5 and one guy got 1. Yeah? Well, let me tell you something. One guy got 2 and one guy got 1. There's not much of a contrast in that. They're basically standing on equal ground. So they're standing on equal ground. And one didn't have much more of an advantage than the other one. So many times, fallen human nature will focus on what we don't have, or somehow on something we think we deserve, or we'll look at what other people have and think somehow in this fallen world we've been treated unfairly, or there's injustice, or the cards are stacked against us. Well, I've got news for you, and we'll get to it in a moment. Jesus Christ said, in this fallen world, you're going to face tribulation. And you're going to face obstacles, and you're going to face challenges, and people aren't always going to treat you right. You're going to face evil, hatred, prejudice, because I'm here to tell you, this is not heaven. Amen. We're going to heaven, but we're not in heaven now, and we are in the world, and the world is controlled. The systems of the world are controlled by the devil. Amen. Now, we fall into this trap where we focus on what others have. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And let's just say I'm one of these people that has one. Or I think I've got all these disadvantages. Or life didn't deal me a fair hand. And I want to be honest with you. There are two situations in life. So sometimes we go through hardships and they are absolutely no fault of our own. You know, there are people that are born into poverty through no fault of their own, no doubt. And people that are born facing obstacles with no fault of their own. And then there's a second part that there are some obstacles, challenges, and situations we brought into our own life through disobedience. So there, both of those things exist. Both of those things exist. Now, in Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your lifestyle and let your way of thinking be without the sin of covetousness. That's wanting what everybody else has. And be content with such things as you have. Be content with where you are in life right now. Now, I want you to understand something. The Hebrew writer was writing during a time that the Roman government was the most corrupt government in the world. They were absolutely corrupt. The leadership in the Jewish religion was absolutely corrupt. They were so corrupt, they crucified Messiah. There was slavery going on in Judea and in the Middle East, and there were people that were treated horribly during this time. Just like people are being treated horribly today and have been treated horribly since the days of Noah and even before. So I want you to understand, in whatever age you live in, God is saying it to us today, be content with the things you have and don't be overcome with the sin of saying, well, I want this and I want that and I want this and I want that. And if these people have this, this is what I want. That's the sin of covetousness. Now, Brother Leo, how can I be content with the things that I have? Well, you can be content if this is the foundation of your life. If the most important thing in your life is this, verse 5, because Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I want you to understand, Lehman, it doesn't matter if I got one talent, two talents, zero talents, 5,000 talent. If I've got Jesus and he's never going to leave me, I've got all that I need. I've got all that I need. And then the second point is this. So that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear whatever it is I have to go through in life. So Jody, if I know I've got Jesus in my heart, I've got a personal relationship with Jesus, and I know that he's going to help me, I know he's going to take care of me, then I am in no way going to get torn up over material things or things I don't think I have or disadvantages. I want you to understand, as you watch what's unfolding over our nation, there is only one answer. And the answer is Jesus Christ. I don't hear anybody say anything about Jesus Christ. You know, nobody's saying we as a nation have got to turn to God. Nobody is saying, you know, we've got to get the Lord involved in this thing. We've got to get the Lord's help. All I'm hearing is, well, we've got these demands. We've got these demands. I hear this bunch in Seattle saying, we've got 30 demands. You know, we want this, we want that, we want that. I'm going to tell you something right now, and I know I'm one of these guys that they're going to say was born in white privilege, blah, 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 blah. But the bottom line is this, as a child of God and as a sinner saved by grace, I don't have a right to make a demand out of anybody. And I'm not going to make a demand out of anybody. And the bottom line is, my friend, I don't expect anything from anybody. I expect to do the best I can with what God gave me. And if I'm going to depend on anybody, I'm going to depend on Jesus. And so we live in a totally horizontal society and culture where nobody is looking up. So we complain. We don't try. We make excuses. We bury our talent. We waste our time. Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You're to be content with the things that you have. But then you're to build on those things. You're not to bury them in the sand. You're not to quit. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, telling them to send money to Jerusalem to help the church in Jerusalem. They had done it a year ago, and now he was encouraging them to do it again. And in verse 11, he said, now therefore perform the doing of it. Go ahead, send the money. That as there was a readiness to will, so that there may be a performance also of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what a man has, and not according to what he has not. I want you to understand something. We are only responsible to God for the things we have in life. But God expects us to use those things to bless others and to glorify him. And to use our abilities and our talents. And you know, the bottom line is we're to be faithful where we're planted, be content where we're planted, and allow God to use us in great ways. And you say, well, Brother Leo, you know, you get to preach on Sunday morning and folks hear you and a lot of folks know you in Wayne County and other places and you're on the internet, blah, 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 blah. But the bottom line is my friend Jesus Christ died for one soul. If there had been one soul on the face of the earth, Jesus Christ still would have died. If you can make a difference in one life, you've done a tremendous thing. why you've been here on earth. If you can be a good Christian dad or a Christian mom, you've done a tremendous thing why you've been here on earth. And we've got to be faithful and understand that God expects us to have a personal self-responsibility to use what we have to bless others and to glorify God, and not to focus on the things that we don't have. Now, I want you to understand this is huge when it comes to the 5, 2, and 1 talents. You're either a person that is content with where you are in life and what you have in life, or you're a person who is obsessed with the things you don't have. And there are people that live that way. And they live their whole life that way. And I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Yeah, you know, and my buddy Pete in Chicago tells me all the time, he said, "Brother Leo, I love to hear you say about you sitting on your front porch. I'm going to take some pictures of it so he'll know the swing I'm sitting in." But I'm going to tell you, on Monday mornings at 6 o'clock when I'm on that front porch drinking that coffee and those birds are singing, I have to look up to God and say, "God, and Christine, you saw it yesterday." I have to look up and I have to say to God, "Lord Jesus, you have blessed me so much I couldn't ask for anything more." And my friend, God wants us all to realize how blessed we have been in this life. Now, I want you to go with me to John chapter 16, and I'm going to read the verse I just quoted to you a few moments ago. And in John chapter 16, Jesus is speaking. And in verse 33, the Lord says this. John chapter 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now I want to focus on number one here. In this world you shall have tribulation. Now that's the truth. Jesus is saying you are going to face obstacles, challenges, opposition, pain, disease, lack, unfairness, prejudice, evil. You're going to face all these things in this life. And I want you to understand that. Life is not a bed of roses. Life is tough. We're in a fallen world. Our bodies are decaying from the day we're born. We face pain, we face suffering, we face people that, Jonathan, are just flat out mean at times. You know, and it's nothing that we've done, they're just mean-spirited folks. Yep. Now, on the flip side of that, there's a lot of good things in life. Yep. And there's a lot of wonderful people, and there's a lot of loving people. But you're going to deal with situations in life that are unfair. You're going to deal with situations in life that are hurtful. And you're going to deal with situations in life that are disappointing and set you back, and hardships, etc., etc. But Jesus says this: "In this world, I am going to give you my peace, and I am going to be with you, and I have overcome the world." So the bottom line here is, when Jesus says, "I have overcome," you need to understand something. There exists a need in this world, or in this life. We possess or face the need to overcome. Now, everything you face, one of two things is going to happen. It's either going to knock you down and you're not going to overcome it, or it's going to oppose you and you are going to overcome it. There are folks in life that have dealt with things in life and they've never recovered. Emotional hurt, spiritual hurt, physical hurt, they've never overcome. Their life basically stopped at a place where they were dealt a bad hand of cards, or they did something and it brought something into their life, or they made a mistake, or something happened that was no fault of their own, but they did not choose to overcome. Now, you say, Brother Leo, how do you overcome? Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I want you to know that there exists in this life a need to overcome. You're going to have to overcome every day. Every day you're going to face something. Every day you're going to go through something. So every day we've got to overcome. In the Greek, overcome means to strive against. It's Nikeo, N-I-K-A-O. It's the word we get Nike from. God bless Nike. Lord help Nike. I mean, my friend, it's just ridiculous. Corporate America is sold out unto the devil. Everything we deal with is sold out unto the devil. The media is sold out unto the devil. You know, Monmouth College, and I promise, Fratty, I'll not to preach any of this stuff. But you know, the media wants you to believe something that's a total lie. Monmouth College is famous for their polls. And I mean, they're deep. They did a poll 3 weeks ago asking thousands, I mean thousands of people, are you satisfied with the police? 73% of college-educated white folks said yes. 72% of all African-Americans said yes. That's hard to believe in if you watch the news. Same number! White and black folks, same number. The white privileged bunch, 73%. All African Americans that were polled, 72% said they were satisfied with the police. I just want to say today I support the police. Hadn't said it yet. I thank God for the police. Amen. Thank God for America. Thank God for our city police, our county police, our state police, our federal police. City, county, and state police, I want you to understand something. In 2017, they made 10,554,985 arrests. All 50 states. 10,554,985 arrests. Is that not unbelievable? Think of how many good policemen they are. Think of how many arrests go off without a hitch. Over 10 million arrests, and I can read to you the last 8 years, and every year there's been almost 10.5 million arrests made in the United States. Nobody even says that. In 2017, there were 457 white men shot by police. 10 million arrests. 223 black men were shot by police. I can go over the last 8 years and it's 2-1, 2-1, 2-1. They don't want you to know that. You can go to any FBI, Justice Department, any way, you can get all these numbers. 41 unarmed men were shot in 2019. 41 unarmed men were shot in 2019 out of 10 million arrests. 19 of them were white. 9 were black. Every statistic, you have twice as much opportunity to be shot by a police officer as a white person as you do as a black person. Now, I would pray that nobody ever has to get shot by a police officer. Right. And I praise God for all of our police officers. And I pray God's protection on all of our police officers. But the media wants to lie to you. And the media wants to turn you against your black brothers and sisters in America. And the media wants to turn folks against white people. Brothers and sisters in America. And I'm here to tell you, God loves all of us. Amen. All of us are created in His image. And if a white person gets done wrong or if a black person gets done wrong, it's still a tragedy because nobody needs to get done wrong. And we need to stand up for everybody in this country. Yeah. But my friend, I want you to understand, none of us are victims. We are all overcomers in Christ if we choose to be. Because all of us face obstacles. 1 John chapter 5 says this in verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the truth. When you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you place your faith in him, you use the energy of your faith and the energy of your personal relationship with Jesus Christ to put him first. And whatever it is you face in this life, you depend on the Lord and you trust God and you ask God to lead you and guide you and give you strength to go through what you have to go through in life. In this world, we will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And the Lord says in Matthew 28, I'm with you always. I'll stay with you always, even unto the end of the world. And in Philippians 4, the scripture says, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. And so we've got to grab these promises, grab these verses, and face whatever it is we got to face in life and believe that Jesus will give us that victory. One statistic I wanted to leave out as I support our policemen today. In 2019, 89 policemen were killed in the line of duty. 89 policemen were killed in the line of duty. That's the same year 41 unarmed men were shot, but 89 policemen were killed in the line of duty during that year. Certainly we got problems in this country. But I'm going to tell you something. There are times innocent civilians are being harmed. But there are also times innocent policemen are being harmed. And you know, there are many, many problems. And you say, why are there many, many problems? Because we're in a fallen world and it's man. And the only correction, the only antidote, the only savior is Jesus Christ. Amen. And if this country turns back to God, and if we can get godly people in places where they need to be, and people that are dedicated to righteousness and fairness and godliness and have good hearts, and like Patty used to tell Daniel when he was a little boy, you know, you need to have Jesus in your heart. Well, I want to say that to every politician, and I want to say that to everybody in the world today. These people need Jesus in their heart. Amen. And I know that's, you might think it's simplicity, but I'm telling you, it's power. And it's the only answer, and it's the only answer that we need. In this life, we will wrestle. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And you're basically going to deal with two areas of wrestling. One from the outside, one from the inside. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the scripture says this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So I just want you to know, in this life we're going to wrestle, we're going to struggle with attacks that are from without. We're going to strain against resistance. Jesus told his disciples, for the Christians, he goes, this world's going to hate you. But I want you to remember, they hated me first. So we're going to face opposition in this world. And we're going to face evil. We're going to face corruption. But what is the answer to this wrestling? Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles and the attacks of the devil. And then he says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. My friend, when we get attacked, Keith, God expects us to stand. He expects us to, in the spirit, keep moving forward, keep doing the best we can. He doesn't want us to quit. He doesn't want us to bellyache. He doesn't want us to sit in a corner. He wants us to pick ourselves up and say, Lord, I know with you nothing is impossible. Lord, I know with you I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, I'm going to put on the whole armor of God today. I'm going to pray. I'm going to have my devotional. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to put on the breastplate of righteousness. My feet are shod in the gospel of peace. Lord, I'm going to take the sword of the Spirit and live by the word of God and live a moral life. And I'm going to do the things that you want me to do. And I might be playing hurt. You know, Cameron, sometimes you got to play hurt. I went back to a reunion many, many years ago to see Coach Word and my coach, who's now gone home to be with Jesus. And we sat in Shadow Moss Country Club, and we were laughing and we were talking. And he came up to me and he said, Leo, I knew you were hurt, man. He said, I knew you were hurt. He put a thing on my locker during my senior year. He goes, it was two rules. Number one, the first rule was don't get hurt. The second rule was, if you think you're hurt, ask me. Coach Jim Worden went to Tennessee Tech here. He was from Dover, Delaware. We were in Laurinburg, North Carolina, 2 weeks for our first game, playing camp. You're playing three scrimmages a game, playing Myrtle Beach High School. Lester Brown's playing tailback. He went on to play in the CFL, played for Clemson on a national championship team. I had Lester all day long. I was keying on him. And I got cracked back about three times by a wide receiver. It's an illegal block. They can't hit you below the waist. He cracked my tibia. My tibia gets cracked before the season starts, so I don't even play until the fourth game against Somerville. The ninth game of the season, I'm blocking on a punt return. I was one of the deep guys. The receiver fell into the back of my leg and fractured my ankle. Went to Andy Clawson at the Citadel. That's who always took care of us, the Citadel's trainer. And I said, am I going to be able to play? We had a rival next week. He said, no, but he said, I think I can get you ready for the first game of the playoffs. And I was taped up, and they do ultrasound at halftime to keep me going. And Coach Worden, he'll never forget, he said, and we were playing Spring Valley High School. If you watch Fox News, Ainsley Earhart is a graduate of Spring Valley High School, and they put us out of the playoffs twice in the third round, Cameron. But you know what I learned? You play hurt. You might not be 100%, but man, you get out there and you suck it up and you can do what you got to do, and you learn a lot of things in athletics. Sometimes you might have a disease and you just can't sit home and say, you know, I'm just not going to do anything anymore. You do it with smoke and mirrors. You do whatever you have. You ask God to give you wisdom and strength, and we move forward. Guess what? If you're waiting for your life to be perfect and painless and totally joyful before you're going to do something for Jesus, you're never going to do something for Jesus. And so we move forward in life. And we do the best we can. I'm going to tell you something else. I don't care what you're going through. Paul said there are other people in the world that are Christians. They're going through what you're going through. And there's a lot of them going through worse than what you're going through. Amen. You know, I can't help but think about little Kirtland and her family every time I ride by that house in Collinwood. This little girl is laying in that bed, Jennifer, through no fault of her own. A car hit her in the rear end, or a truck hit their car. And we got to understand, we have no right to bellyache. And nobody in this country has any right to bellyache. And so we've got to learn that. And so we're to put on the whole armor of God. So you're going to get attacked from the outside. But let me show you one more before we move to something else today. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, it says this. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. and these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you should do to please God. Cameron, it's hard enough battling all this stuff coming against us from the outside, but I'm going to tell you something. The biggest battle we have goes on within us. Our own flesh battling the Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Whether you're a preacher on Sunday morning, or whether you were Adrian Rogers or Billy Graham, or whether you're David Jeremiah today, you know, we can look at these guys and say, man, what a walk they have with God, and praise God, a lot of them do. But everybody fights this battle. And so we're fighting that battle also. And you say, well, Brother Leo, how do I win that one? Verse 18, if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. You're not being led by the works of the flesh, the adultery, the fornication, the uncleanness, the lasciviousness, the strife, etc. Verse 16, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. My friend, you got to ignite that Spirit every day, Cleo. You got to start the day. You got to say a prayer to the Lord. Open up that devotional. Go to Jesus. And let the Lord have that chance. Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't always get attacked by the outside. Lehman, I can avoid a lot of battles by staying off the battlefield. Amen. There are some people that will absolutely, you know, drag you down spiritually. A lot of times you can stay away from them. Especially if you're related to them. Yeah. You can always have a cold or upset stomach or something. Miss Thanksgiving dinner. You know, that old arthritis got me again. You ever hear that story, Jonathan? An old timer in the mountains. He's crying and crying and crying. And he said, preacher said, what's wrong with you? Trying to think of his name. Arthur Gillespie told me this story. He said, Arthur, what's wrong? He said, man, he said, I was off work, and he said, I heard my wife was in bed with arthritis. And he said, well, he said, why is that upsetting you? He said, well, preacher, I know them rightest boys, and that Arthur, he's the baddest one of them all. It's bad, Jody. You go all find out your wife's done took up with arthritis. But anyway, but you know, you can avoid some of these battles, but I'm telling you something, Cameron, I can't be delivered from the body of this carnality. You know, you carried around with you. So that's a battle you're going to have to fight every day. So we've got to look to Jesus to find victory over these things. Now, I want you to just go back in your mind for a moment to the parable of the talents. One was given 5 talents, one was given 2 talents, and one was given 1. And we kind of look at that as advantages and disadvantages. I want to read to you about a lady, Johnny Erickson Tata, who was born into a, you know, upper middle class family. Her dad was on the Olympic wrestling team. Johnny was born in 1949. She was an equestrian, was a national champion, and was probably going to be on the Olympic team here for the United States. But in 1967, she dove into Chesapeake Bay. And she broke her neck, and she became a quadriplegic, paralyzed from the shoulders down. Ended up in a wheelchair, which she is in today, and without the use of her hands. After 2 years of rehabilitation, she emerged with new skills and a fresh determination to help others in similar situations. During her rehab, Joni spent long months learning how to paint with a brush between her teeth. Her high-detail fine art paintings and prints are sought after and collected. She has painted several thousand with her teeth. How many of you have seen Johnny Erickson's paintings? Tremendous. Tremendous. Her best-selling autobiography, Johnny, in the feature film, has been translated into many languages. Ms. Tada has visited more than 47 countries around the world several times. She served on too many national boards to announce. She has received numerous honors and awards, etc., etc., etc. Joni has written over 120 books and devotionals. She is a regular columnist in several Christian magazines. She's been inducted into the Christian Booksellers Association Hall of Fame. Joni's works cover topics ranging from disability outreach to understanding the goodness of God and the problem of suffering. Her books include A Christmas Longing, depicting her best-loved Christmas paintings, The Life and Death Dilemma. She wrote a book called When God Weeps, Why Our Sufferings Matter to the Almighty. Joni wrote her memoir in 2003, The God I Love, chronicling a lifetime walking with Jesus while paralyzed in a wheelchair. In 2011, A Place of Healing was released, recounting her journey through physical pain and addressing questions concerning prayers for healing. After battling stage 3 breast cancer in 2010, Joni wrote Diagnosed with Breast Cancer, Life After Shock, released in the fall of 2020. She wrote her latest book, October 2016, A Spectacle of Glory, released by Zondervan, won the best devotional book in 2017. She's written a Bible as an editor called the Beyond Suffering Bible. In 1982, she began hosting Joni and Friends, a daily 5-minute radio program. It airs in over 1,000 outlets. She has been broadcasting for over 35 years. They just did a television show called Cancer, Joni's Journey. In 2002, she was featured on several documentaries. On July 30th, 2017, Joni celebrated 50 years of living well, paralyzed in a wheelchair. She calls it a remarkable testimony to God's sustaining grace. How many 17-year-olds could handle losing their arms and legs? Active 17-year-olds. So is Joni a victim or is she an overcomer? Leo Doyle has no excuse. Tim Scott, you'll see him. He is a conservative Republican. He's an African-American. He grew up in North Charleston, South Carolina. His parents divorced at 7 years of age. He had one brother. His mother, single mom, worked 16 hours a day. They still had to move several times from low income to low income to low income housing. Tim played at Stahl High School, used to play against Stahl. They were a 3A school. He got a partial scholarship to Presbyterian College, which is a small school. He stayed there 1 year, and he went to the Baptist College. He had football at PC. I had football baseball offer then, and I had baseball at Baptist because they didn't have football there. Now Charleston Southern University. Got a degree in business, came out, worked for Allstate. Ended up getting his own Allstate. And it's the Tim Scott Allstate in Charleston now. He ran for the South Carolina House of Representatives and made it. Ran for the United States House of Representatives and made it. And now he's a United States Senator from South Carolina. Single mom, and grew up in public housing. His estimated worth is $4.3 million today. Now, I think that's good. Now, that's not Nancy Pelosi money. Her estimated worth is $120 million. I've studied all. I've been studying this stuff for the last 2 months. I know what every senator's worth. When they're talking about how they're worrying about the poor people, I want to know what they're worth. And what they're going to do for the poor people, I want to know what they're worth. And I've got all this stuff written down and organized, and Patty goes, please, don't teach them. I want to tell you about Darius Rucker. Darius Rucker went to Middleton High School. Tim was born in 1965, so he's 5 years younger than I am. Darius was born in 1966. He's 6 years younger than I am. Darius grew up in the area I grew up in. We went to the same high school. Darius lived in low-income housing in a three-bedroom apartment with his mother, his grandmother, and his mother's sister, with 13 other children. 17 children lived in Darius's three-bedroom apartment. We had a running back named John Laborde. He went to Wichita State on a full ride. His brother, Ronald Laborde, was one of our wideouts. He went to Arizona State on a full ride. There were times on Friday mornings, Coach Worden would get me out of class, and he'd say, ride over there. I didn't have my own car. My mama let me drive her car to school. He said, ride over there and get John and Ronald out of bed and get them to school because we got to play tonight and you got to be in school to play. And we had periods. We didn't have blocks. So I'd ride over there, and there is no lie, you could smell marijuana in these complexes so strong. It was difficult. You know, it was just horrific. And I would go, and I knew where their bedroom was, and I would knock on the window and wake them up to get them to come to school. And there were times there were not even any parents in these apartments. And this is where Darius grew up. Darius went to Middleton High School. We had a lady at Middleton named Miss Kennedy. I'm sorry, Miss Kelly. Miss Kennedy was the assistant principal. Miss Kelly was our choral director. And we had a chorus called the Middleton Singers, and they had 40 students in it, and the girls wore evening gowns, and the guys wore a sport coat and a tie, and Miss Kelly, and they were black and white students, some from, we had affluent white kids, and we had poor white kids and poor black kids. Miss Kelly would do fundraisers to raise money for the sport coats and ties. They would do a spring choral, a Christmas choral, a patriotic choral, and they would appear at tourist places and sing concerts. And they were phenomenal. We sit back and listen to this bunch sing. Darius sang with the Middleton Singers. He got out with the University of South Carolina, started a group called Hootie and the Blowfish. Now he's back in Nashville. Darius, as of 2018, was worth $14.5 million. Same number of kids that were in that apartment. Is this not a great country? I'm going to tell you something. Is Darius an overcomer? You better believe he is. Is Tim Scott an overcomer? You better believe he is. Is Johnny Erickson Tata an overcomer? You better believe she is. My friend, I want you to understand something. I hope everybody under the hearing of my voice today will leave this message saying, I want to thank Jesus for all he's given me. I want to thank Jesus for all the opportunities, all the blessings, all the health. If you walk out of this building today, you are blessed. Amen. If you can hear and see what we're saying today, you're blessed. If you got a roof over your head today, you are blessed. We had a family that came to Brevard from China when I was there. There must have been 20 of them. They started working in a restaurant, an American restaurant, and about 3 years they opened their own restaurant, everybody in the family working, first Chinese restaurant in Brevard, Cameron, everybody in the world, and the last time, they not only had one in Brevard, they got one in Hendersonville, they got one in Asheville, North Carolina, and they got one in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And they came to this country and worked for somebody else. We got people born in this country, belly aching in every major city in America. You know what you need to do to get ahead sometimes? Sometimes you got to work 16 hours a day. Sometimes you might have to work 8 hours a day, God forbid. Patty told me, don't get started. But you know, the bottom line goes, God's not going to hold you account for the things you don't have. But you are responsible for the things you do. And He gives us ability, He gives us minds, and He gives us blessings. And so I close out today. You can look at the 5 talents, you can look at the 4, you can look at 2, you can look at 1. But I'm going to tell you something. Leo Doyle was born in the same neighborhood Darius Rucker was born in. I grew up as an only child. I grew up with a mom and dad in the house. I grew up with a wonderful public education in my high school. I grew up with a wonderful public education at the College of Charleston. But I'm going to tell you, the day I left Swanee and left those scholarships on the table, I felt a responsibility to go to work. I was not going to have my dad have to pay money for me to go to the College of Charleston when I could have gone to Swanee for free. And so I started working, and I paid for my books, and I paid half of my tuition, and Patty was out, and she was working, and we have been working all of our lives, and we have been blessed to work, and I want to thank God every day. I've got the health to get up and do something and be productive, and Patty does too. And the thing we've got to understand, God put Adam in the garden and He didn't say, sit down, Adam and the animals, we're going to bring you the food. He said, dress it and keep it and be productive. So everybody is called. And I'm going to tell you something. Not only so you can bless yourself, but so you can bless somebody else and glorify Jesus. I want to thank God for the 100,000 talents He's given me to lanterns. And as I look around, every one of y'all is a blessing from God. Think of the people He has brought into your life to help you and to bless you and to be. You may not have had a dad, you know, but I want to thank God for the people that have always been there for my life and for many lives that are in this room today. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this day. We thank You that You have blessed us. You have equipped us. Father, we are in America. Lord, I've never gone a day where there's not been food in my home. Father, forgive me for not praying more and doing more for people that don't have food. Help me think on those people. Father, there's never been a day I thought I was going to freeze without heat. Father, there's never been a day that I was afraid I couldn't get somewhere because I didn't have transportation. Father, forgive me for not being more mindful of those that don't and for not helping more. But Lord, I want to thank You for the people I have been able to help in life. Father, I want to thank You for convicting my heart to do some of the things that I've done. And Father, forgive me for not being open to do more. But Father, help us all to be grateful. And I want to thank You for America, Lord Jesus. I want to thank You for all of our policemen. I want to thank You, Lord Jesus, for all of our military. I want to thank You for all of our nurses, all of our doctors, all of our school teachers. I want to thank You, Lord, for all our public servants. I want to thank You for the folks like Johnny and for Judy and all these ministries that try to help people. Father, we just want to thank You We want to thank you for all the good that this country has done. Lord, we're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. But Father, help us be mindful of our imperfections. And help us find the leadership of the Holy Spirit to correct. Because man cannot correct man, but God can. And help this nation turn and look to you, Lord Jesus.